Good morning, everybody. This is the regular meeting for the Security Committee, October 1st, 2020 at 10 p.m.
10 a.m.
What did I say?
You said p.m., but that's okay.
Okay. With that being said and being corrected, everyone knows how the Zoom process works. So if we could stay muted, raise a hand, or ask a question, we can do that. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. And I'm going to go on to number two, which is public comments. Do we have any? Do you have any hands raised, Amelia?
I do not have any hands raised.
Okay, then let's... I might change the order. Tom, this is a question for you. Do you have a introduction, or do we want to wait on that? How do you want to handle that?
Well, now's a good time. It's a good monthly update for operations. So,
right.
Jeff Werblun is going to be out for at least a couple more months on personal leave. And so rather than have me try to manage the administrative functions of security in my spare time, I was given the ability to hire a retired annuitant from the state correctional officers system. And so we hired on probably a couple of day a week basis, Angie Avila, who was with, she worked at, finished her career with the state about 7 months ago at Mule Creek Prison. And Angie started with us yesterday at about 3 o'clock so she could sit through the security meeting last night from here at the office, and she's here today, and I'm not going to ask her to give any reports this month, but next month she's going to be taking over the reporting function and the administrative function of the security for the time being. And that would be pretty much until further notice, i.e. when Jeff comes back or there's resolution with Jeff. And we expect Jeff to come back in mid-December or January. So that's the answer there. But welcome to the team, Angie.
Thank you.
And then can you scroll down to the updates, or am I? Go ahead.
We didn't have any updates, Tom.
So with in the absence of Jeff and with me not having time to create all the memos and spreadsheets and such for the updates, the answer is without having good information, we're not going to throw out incomplete information. We are working with the RMA on our statistics to eliminate the variance in what we say, for instance, how many citations or how many stop signs were identified as having been run through versus what they said on their worksheet. So I'm working with Denise at the RMA to have a consolidated incidents of note or operational activities report. So with that, and as far as contract security staffing update, we've hired from the PDF company, the one we use to hire temporary staff. We've had a PDF employees working the gate for the past few years as we have attrition and people go on to other jobs. And now with the recent departure of two of our patrol officers in basically a month or so period, we hired a contractor to help us do patrol service. That being said, we continue to recruit for patrol officers. If you go to the district webpage, you will note that under employment opportunities, the patrol officer position is open for recruitment. We are just not getting applicants to fill the position. So I needed to be able to, you know, have our one patrol officer on at all times scenario. So we went out and we hired a part-timer or a contractor. So that being said, we are in the mode of basically minimum staffing according to Measure J. We have 24-hour a day, 7 day a week coverage in patrol with just one officer. And now that we've added Angie to the mix, we have some administrative oversight. So that's my update.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Mr. Maybe I do have two hands raised. Are you prepared to accept public comment at this time?
Yes.
Mr. public, if you would like to comment.
I think you might have just answered my question, but I'm used to riding my bicycle around, and you know, I usually see the patrol officers at least once or twice a day. But in the last 2 weeks over that period, I think I've only seen them once. So is that a reflection of the reduced staffing now, or what's going on?
You know, Richard, I would just think that's the time of day and the circumstance, or that I'm guessing you're riding your bike when it's a little cooler in the morning instead of in the heat of the day.
Oh, not necessarily. I like riding my, but you know, I've asked a couple of other people and they've said the same thing.
Well,
you know, they're just not there.
Okay, well, we have one officer on duty at all times. And in the past, sometimes we may have had two on patrol.
Okay, that might have been it. I don't know. But, you know, it's a noticeable difference.
Okay. Thank you for your comment.
And actually, I'm not complaining. I don't think we really get that much out of them during the day. It's you know, at the nighttime that we can use them. So, you know, it's okay with me.
Amelia, did you have another hand?
Yes, sir. Crystal?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Two quick questions. With respect to Ms. Avila, and I apologize if I mispronounced her last name. Question one is, will she be doing any patrol? And number two has to do with the security report. I may be misspeaking, but I think we haven't had one for about the last 2 months. And I know initially there was some issue with respect to how to download that information, or there was something that was trying to be figured out a couple months ago with respect to how to get that information and then present it to the public. And I'm wondering, since that time, what efforts have been made to try to obtain that data so that it can be provided to us in anticipation for these meetings? So just those two questions.
Okay, I can handle both of those. Crystal, thank you for your questions. The first answer is no, Angie Avila will not be working patrol duties. She will do ride-alongs with patrol officers and Sergeant Tompkins in order to get the feel for the community and kind of follow through the issues. Fortunately, she has lots of friends that live in the community, so she's very familiar with Rancho Marietta. She's spent multiple occasions out here over the past few years. So she has, from the community aspect, she has the residents' viewpoint of what goes on out here. And then, again, I just wanted someone to handle the administrative part of that. And excellent question number two, because if Tim doesn't drag this meeting on past noon, Angie and I begin our two-hour training with the software company, ABDI, on how to understand how to pull reports, some of the value of the canned reports, and if there's any ad hoc reporting that we need to, if there's capability to do that. I set this training up a couple weeks ago when I first started talking to Angie. So the reasons we haven't had reports for the past 2 months is because Jeff has not been with us. And I am not a person who will just throw out data just because I think people want to see it. I will throw out data when I know it's accurate. And if you've been following me through my tenure as the director of administration, we went for about 4 or 5 months without a financial report because I did not trust the data. Once we trust the data, we start bringing it forward. So does that answer your questions?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have any more hands? Because otherwise we'll go to adjournment, Tom, just to speed things up. No. Going
no
on,
more hands.
Thank you. Going on to the surveillance camera policy. Amelia, I think you're going to have to refresh my memory, but I think we're going to hold the updated draft document, and let staff take a look at it, and then we can reintroduce it.
That's exactly correct. We are going to let Angie have her expert opinion and look at it, and then we'll probably put it on next month's agenda, is what I'm hoping.
Okay, thank you. Item number five, the GM, do you want to start that?
Yes. So I've been getting reports, both from security and from the residents, that there's a gentleman who's been carving some mountain bike trails in various sections of the district, and trying to understand the validity of the work he's doing. I sent him a letter asking for him to confirm that he has the authority and or permission to be cutting trails into parts of the district that currently don't have trails, or maybe enhancing trails by bringing in foreign materials. And I sent that letter, was that about 3 weeks ago, Amelia? Do you recall?
It seems like...
It don't have to be exact. To me, it seems about 3 weeks ago. I requested that I be given a summary of what permissions or authority or activities they're doing, and I have yet to receive anything back. So I'm gonna follow up with a more persuasive letter, and eventually it might involve going and kind of seeing what they've got going on so I can kind of better understand, because at some point I think security or operations might need to have some sort of input to what's going on. I'm not exactly sure. And it will involve working with the RMA, which is just another item that we work together on, and you know, since I've been involved here at SGM. That's my update.
Thank you. Tom, I would probably, well, I'll leave the probably out. What I would like to see, and I'll update the board members on this, is that it's a certified letter. And I think we need to tag the leadership of RMA and the country club, probably as well as the landowner, the best we can figure. Depending on where the location is, I don't know if it's Sacramento County dealing with levees. So having it resolved at the lowest level hasn't necessarily worked. So I think from here on out, it needs to be a formalized process. This similar but different situation came up in the Fire Safe Council, where I requested that we have documents for the trails that are running through the community, that if CSD is going to be any part of official document, and for the folks out there, understand there's a parks committee. It's a very formalized process that we belong to, and these trails really don't fall within the parks committee trail system, RMA's trail system, that I asked during that meeting that we get the release from the landowners and a hold harmless as well. So I think we have two issues. The most immediate one is the work that's being, or whatever is being done on potentially the levee system that we have. And then the other is, as we notify RMA, we'll continue to work as we have on just the total trail system that we have running through the district. But yeah, I would say from here on out, we need to track staff time and all that, because I hope it doesn't go to, but very well might include using some attorney time. Okay. Item number six.
Sorry. I can't get into Zoom to raise my hand, but I'm hoping I can comment.
Sure.
Oh, now I'm into Zoom.
Hi, who is...
Hey, Mark Pegatich.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing? Good morning. Hey, I just want to add a couple points of clarity. The trails that are being created right now that Tom's referencing are being done by a resident, not by the stewardship group that's working in partnership with the landowner that has those lands out there. So I think it's an important differentiation that it doesn't get considered one and the same, because it's two different, and it's a single individual acting out and doing his own thing. The other part with regard to the trail system in total, Tim, I agree with you, that's a bigger conversation. The Parks Committee piece that we were starting to talk about in the Fire Council the other night, yeah, it's actually part of a bigger conversation, I think, around the liability, resident access to the back space areas that technically don't belong to the residents, but we need to navigate that. You know, there's things on the RMA website, including the trail map, that currently exists of what's out there, but I agree with you and happy to participate in that conversation.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. And yes, everything you said, I agree with as we're moving forward, because we already know that there are easements that the district has that we've assumed liability for trails that at no point has the district wanted or condoned or participated in. So that's where, as we're bringing this forward, I think it's a parallel track, but at the end of the day, the issues are going to have to be just purely because we are the governmental agency, we are the deep pocket. It's come to kind of the forefront. So we will be addressing it from that standpoint, but you brought up some good points. Thank you.
Okay, great. And just to clarify, can we just say trails and not mountain bike trails so we don't get like more shade on the mountain bike community unnecessarily? Thank you.
We can do that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and truly at the end of the day, Mark, not knowing what's going on is somewhat disheartening on because there are so many different degrees and levels of trails. So duly noted. Amelia, do you have any other hands?
I do not have any other hands.
Okay. Item number six, proposed security service survey. Tom.
So this is an informational item for the security committee. It's a very serious action item for the finance committee. So I just wanted to let through the security committee know that at the request of the board, we have decided, you know, we were going to do a security rate study as part of the our major projects this fiscal year. We had set aside $25,000 to do this rate study. And as we got closer and closer to actually pulling the trigger on that, we realized, along with the multitude of financial things we're running into with analyzing how much it costs to run security, we realized we really need to determine at what level the community wants to have security services. And that is because Measure J that was passed in 1998 provided funding for security services to the tune of two gate officers and one patrol officers 24 hours a day. 23 years later, the tax that was passed by the voters through Measure J comes nowhere near funding security, even at the minimum level. So we're proposing through the Finance Committee to allow me to put out an RFI, request for information, for companies who do scientific surveys. And a scientific survey is far more advanced than a survey that you would get when you're passing out a flyer to get people to sign a petition. They're done in a format where if you're gonna go to a vote, you know ahead of time, very likely your chances of having a vote passed. Basically, at a minimum level of security provision, there's not enough money available through the tax to pay for security. So we have to hit the general purpose revenue we get through property taxes. Going forward, that is unsustainable unless the district as a whole wants to utilize property taxes to cover the shortfall in the Measure J tax. So a survey will let us know the appetite for the community as a whole for increases in security fees or just putting up with what we have so far on an ongoing basis. So as I said at the beginning, this is kind of informational for the security committee because it's really a financial committee matter in the fact that how we use property taxes, how we use the Measure J tax as a shortcoming to the security services. So I'm just letting you know that that's on the agenda tomorrow for the finance committee meeting, and people who are interested in what we're doing with security financially may want to chime in, pay attention. Are there any questions?
I do believe Mr. Mark Pekatich has his
hand. Yeah, hi, it's Mark again. Hi there. Hey, so part of what, you know, we did when I was there on the board was that security survey. We spent, you know, nearly $50,000 on it. And last night it was kind of hard to hear all the stuff that was happening around the town hall with the internet challenges and so forth. But I want to make sure that we're using the data from that survey since we paid a significant amount of money for it. You know, like the outcomes of the survey or not, it's fine. Having said that, it's got great data inside of it. RMA also did a community survey too. And then there's also that stakeholder meeting that we had in 2018 And so there was a lot of public comment collected during that when Alex led that effort over at the RMA building. So I just want to make sure we're, you know, using the prior data we've gathered if we're going to move out on another survey.
Mark, can I? Would you allow me to respond to that? When I put out an RFI, and I've done this many times in my career, if there's any relevant information that is current, which the survey you're talking about is, and the other survey you talked about, because they're within the last 5 years, that's included as an attachment to the request for information. So whomever is going to come here with a bid is going to already have read that. So the answer to your question is absolutely.
Great. And so I just don't want to reinvent the wheel if we don't have to, right? And since it's such fresh data, you know, again, like the outcomes are not of that report. If we just took like respondents input around guard at a Escuela gate, I feel like we don't need to answer that question again, but I'll leave that up to you all.
Thank you.
Tom, thanks for answering that. Mark, that was our game plan. I guess what's different from what CSD has done in the past to what the CSD is doing now, it's not about the levels of service and who wants what. It's about financing and staying in with what the requirements of Measure J are. So the intent isn't to try and figure out exactly what the system is going to look like or any of those things. We're trying to close a fiscal year budget of about $480,000. That's taken a couple of years to get to this level. So it, as Tom stated, it's not a security issue. It's not a level of service issue. It's purely a financial issue that the organization has got to take a look at. And that's the driving factor behind this. And we're not going to have a whole lot of what if type town hall scenarios and input because we've had that. It's purely, we have to figure out how we're going to come up with the funding source. Should we get the funding source, then we can determine what that level of service is. So with that said, it's a completely different approach than just simply sending a survey out or asking for community service. What do they think about the Escuela gate? We're trying to finance the minimum, and I emphasize minimum level, of security to the community, staying within its fiscal responsibilities. So what I think two things, Tom. Obviously, this will be a board action item, or we need to at least get it informational-wise on the upcoming October board meeting. So if we can make it an action item, I think that would be fine too. And we can wait with the finance committee, and I'll talk to Director Merchant tomorrow during that committee to kind of get that. And then the other is, I forgot what my thought was, so forget the other. All right, any other questions?
So appreciate that, Tim and Tom, great clarification, and applaud your efforts to get after Jay. That's a big deal. Way back, long time standing. So thank you both.
And Tim, I would like to add to your comments. I might have the thought that you forgot. The action I'm taking to the finance committee tomorrow, which the agenda was posted this morning and the packet's gonna be posted after this meeting. The item is gonna suggest that I get permission from the finance committee to release an RFI immediately, probably next Monday, with the hope of getting bids back before the October 21st board meeting, to whereby I can bring a proposed contract to the board meeting. So guidance from the finance committee, a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, I should be able to possibly have a proposal to award a contract to someone. And mostly this is very informational because I could be doing this without a whole lot of guidance from the committee because the survey, the scientific survey is not going to be crazy expensive.
Right. Yeah. No. It's a good call, and I get it's just because it touches security, It is purely a fiscal issue. So I understand that 1,000%. I know that some board members have articulated, you know, we just can't get bogged down in some of the what ifs. And I agree with that. I think that we have a timeline that's pretty aggressive to really put something very straightforward and simple for the customers, the taxpayers in the district to vote on, and then that will give us direction on really where we're going to go and how we're going to provide that level of service. So thank you. And that was my senior moment that Director Janko always has. Okay, so.
I do have another hand raised if you're sure. Accepting comments, please. From the public, sir. Crystal?
Good morning. With respect to the security issue and the survey, I can appreciate the perspective that this is a finance issue, and I respectfully disagree that it's just a finance issue. To the extent that there will be a continued change in the level of service or any change in the level of service, I don't believe it's strictly a fiscal issue. I think that in terms of staffing, we do have minimum staffing now, which, as I understand, is, it could be part of, fiscal reasons with minimum staffing. It could be a lack of people applying and having the ability to staff it. But I do think that there is a marked reduction in the level of service. And I think there's been a change in the level of service over the years. And so I don't think that it's strictly a finance issue. I think it's an issue of what do the residents want out here in terms of the level of service and what is that going to cost? And so I think that I appreciate the general manager's being up front that this will be brought up in the finance meeting, but my opinion is that it is not just a fiscal issue. I appreciate with respect to the survey that this is an option being explored, but I'd like for us to look at other ways of obtaining information from community members that I appreciate that right now it doesn't look like there's an interest or an appetite in town halls. And I know that it is time consuming to get bogged down with questions from the community and things like that in the what if scenario. But I would respectfully say that in my opinion, I think that's exactly what's needed, is that getting input from the community, especially on an item that could potentially result in a rate increase. That way people are aware of exactly what's going on. So I appreciate the idea of a survey, and I just hope we can explore other avenues that may not be expensive, but may also get community involvement.
Thank you. I think a couple of things, Crystal. When you just go back and look at the very specifics of the measure, the district has not followed the intent. And this board has determined that we are going to take the fiscal responsibility.
We've lost you, Tim. Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry. Am I still there?
You're here now.
Okay. Somebody else has a open mic. It's like on a phone or something. So from a fiscal standpoint, this board is going to obviously take some action. It's taken us a while as a district because we started putting admin people in the office, and we were able to generate reports and do all these things. As we've moved those people to the minimum level of service that we're trying to maintain, it's multifaceted. You're right, maybe I shouldn't say it's just a fiscal issue. The highest priority is a fiscal issue, secondary to the level of service. The level of service we're providing now is what the intent of Measure J was. And so to the standpoint of trying to hire people and all those other things, we're still in process. Again, until we really know what the funding mechanism is going to be, we're not going to know what capabilities potentially are going to be for the district. Amelia, do you have any other hands?
No,
I do not have any other hands.
Okay. And just to refresh for everybody, the finance meeting is tomorrow, 10 o'clock?
That is correct.
Okay. And that was more of a statement than a question, really. Okay. Item number 7, the Joint Security Committee update.
This is my item, and it's more of a, just, it's real informational. We had a quasi-joint security meeting about 4 weeks ago with the RMA, and we discussed a lot of the issues we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about. And I'm going to work to have another joint security meeting scheduled, hopefully before the next board meeting, certainly before the next security committee meeting. And that's just my update.
Very good. I think a couple of things you and I have talked, Tom, offline. I think as we now have the interim director on board and gets caught up to speed, once we get some direction from finance committee and that process gets going and we get some more feedback and direction from the entire board itself, that can probably lend us to a more formalized joint security update committee meeting with the key stakeholder players to really, we'll have numbers, we'll have some of the questions, especially kind of like what Crystal was asking, we'd be able to fill in a lot more of those blanks in the time frame that you're talking about. So yes, I agree. We probably just need to grab a couple of dates as soon as possible and start working to see which one fills in for us from that standpoint. Amelia, do you have any hands?
I do not have any hands raised. I do have a comment, if I may, from Mark Pekatich. He said, to Crystal's comment, I recommend we include a link to the prior security survey report so residents can review what they've already commented on. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's fine. I think that as we move forward and the GM will get direction tomorrow, once that direction's given and we're going to start that process, it really comes down to maybe three things. If people want to know information, it's our district website because the survey is already up there. It's either our official website, it's talking to the general manager, or it's talking to one of the board members. Everything else, social media, all that other stuff, just doesn't necessarily have accurate information or opinion-free information from that standpoint.
I'll put a link on the main page to the just like what's up with security, and then I'll add that so that it's more readily available for our residents.
Hey, Amelia, can you put it on the what do you call that, the flash page for a few weeks?
I can put it on the carousel, or I can put it on one of those stationary tiles underneath the carousel. But I'll put it on the front page.
Yeah, just you decide. I'll let you use your judgment on where.
Okay. I think the stationary tiles get more focus because they're holding still for people.
Okay.
That's what I think.
And so, again, Amelia, as we move forward and some directions given to the general manager, that'll be just part of that outreach information that we always do with the main stakeholder players that we have, that we service. Item number 8, staff comments. So staff.
I don't have anything to add. Just welcome to Angie. And I hope she has broad shoulders.
As always, I want to thank staff. There's always too much to do, not enough time. How we prioritize things, I think, is appropriate. We're still doing good service out there. We just have to work through this process. Once we get it worked through in some clear direction, I think it's going to help everybody, at whether it's the employees or the residents from that standpoint. Tom, I would like you to maybe throw a couple of dates and times next week that the three of us could sit down with Angie and just get some introductions. And then I know that we've got some formal meetings with the sheriffs and those things as well. We can just tie that all in.
Got it.
Okay. Amelia, do you have any hands? Well, I know you have hands, but are
yes, thank you for getting that. I almost said it. I don't have any hands raised, though. Thanks.
Okay. Tom, hopefully we're done before 12 noon. So I want to thank everybody for their questions, their participation. Again, if you have thoughts or comments, please reach out to either the general manager or a board of director to get the most appropriate information. So with that, I'm going to move for adjournment, and I appreciate it. Everybody have a great day.